Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Bears on Tap, the first episode of the offseason, as you see in my name, 0-0 at BDon300. Brandon Suarez, that's where you can find me at. And then I'm joined today by my co-host, Quentin at Butkus Stats, Mr. Kevin Warren season. It is speculation season. It is watch your sauces season. It is I need a receiver and a bunch of other stuff season. But most importantly, it is goodbye Ted Phillips season. Let's start right with that. Like, that's the biggest news on the docket. Nothing can happen right now. No free agents, no nothing. So Kevin Warren is named team president for the Chicago Bears, marking the end of a 39-year tenure by Ted Lunchmeat Phillips. So initial thoughts, Quentin, how are you? And then Ted Phillips, like, rest in peace, not dead, just not the president of my football team anymore.
I'm doing great, man. I'm excited. Like, this is truly one of the most exciting moments to be a Bears fan in, like, Lord knows how long. I mean, them adding Kevin Warren as team president is just, I think it's not getting enough, like, fanfare for what it is, because how long have we been sitting here saying it starts at the top and there's a problem with the Bears at the top? Not that it's necessarily Phillips, but just the way they run things, you know, the way that there's no accountability at the top. There's no, oh, we hire a football guy and he does the football guy stuff and Ted just runs the numbers, you know, like that. That's not an organizational structure to succeed, right? That's always been my biggest issue with it. And so we hear that Ted's retiring. We're like, oh, that's great. And, like, you know, but it only matters as much as they replace him with quality. I mean, they just hired a guy who has significant NFL experience running organizations. Like, the Vikings were a fucking mess before Ziggy Wilf bought them. And this is the guy who structured that purchase for Ziggy Wilf and then did such a great job with it. They hired him to come on as chief operating officer of the Vikings, where he was for, 10 years? No, yeah, 10 years.
He worked for the Vikings. He worked for the Vikings for 15 years, and the last five he was the COO.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that
is. But then he was the commissioner of the Big Ten after that, so he leveled up, yeah. You know?
Yeah. I mean, that's serious NFL experience in a front office of a team that his last 10 years there, they made the playoffs five times. This guy's seen how to do it. He knows how to do it. He knows how a well-run organization looks. And that's exciting for me, let alone the fact that he started out in NFL front offices with the Rams back in the 90s and early 2000s. He has a Super Bowl ring from the greatest show on earth.
He found Kurt Warner in a grocery store. I don't know if he actually did, but I'm just going to say he did for all intents
and purposes. He did.
He found him in the middle 100%. Of a high beat bagging groceries, throwing toilet paper rolls down the aisle. That's our president now. That's our guy. Super Bowl champion already. First job that he had as an NFL executive or with an NFL team. That team ended up going on to win a Super Bowl. But, yeah, he did work for Detroit for a few years. And then after Detroit, he was with Minnesota for 15. And then the last 3 years, he's been with the Big Ten. And if you look at the Big Ten over the last – or I'll say 4 years – if you look at the Big Ten over the last 4 years, two teams in Ohio State and two teams in Michigan that both are – yeah. No, Ohio State went again this year too, didn't they? Did they? Yeah. So I think they've had, like, in total probably like 6-7 teams that have gone to the college football playoff in his time in football. Basketball's looked good. Like, he is a quality front office guy. He's the CEO and president of the Bears now, and it's not Ted fucking Phillips. And that's just like – something that Bears fans should be able to rejoice at, because it's a guy that has been around football organizations for the last 25 years, and he's been around winning, most important.
And he has an intimate understanding of what the Vikings want to do. I think that's something that's getting extremely overlooked. He knows how the Vikings system works, what they scout, what they like, what they're, you know, the scout that's been there for 30 years that won't allow them to draft this guy.
Like, the Moneyball scouts, yeah, the Moneyball.
Yeah,
scouts.
Like, I mean, he knows all the inner workings of that organization, which can only help the Bears.
Yeah,
which I don't think is getting talked about enough. Like, I mean, I'm sure he still knows a little bit about the Lions, but, like, he hasn't been there in 20 years, so, like, is probably pretty limited at this point, but the knowledge of Vikings is very interesting. I mean,
he probably knows Dan Campbell. That's maybe the extent of what he knows.
Everyone in the NFL is, but Dan Campbell.
Yeah. But I mean, but too, so
I'm
go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm amped up about it, man. This is for all that we talk about all the time. Like, how many times in your life as like a kid, or like before you, like, you knew football better than like your parents or anything, did they tell you like McCaskey's the problem, you know?
Dude, when I saw George on TV this week, obviously, because they had the presser, I'm like, he's probably a really nice guy. Like, I just want to punch him in the face, because the Chicago Bears, the oldest franchise, the charter franchise of the NFL, is run like a fucking trailer diner, like that you see out of a movie. It's ridiculous. And
not anymore.
Now we have, like, that's the guy that's like coming in slow motion with like the big briefcase, the suit, like ready to roll. He's all business. I'm looking forward to seeing how him and Poles will work together. I was about to say the C word. Cannot drop that during this regime. If you're a Bear, if you're a real Bears fan, you know what the C word is. It's not a bad word. It's just a word that we don't use anymore because it was used with previous regimes. But it's going to be interesting to see them work together. And then, two, his first press conference, he said, hey, city of Chicago, I'm going to need you to go fuck yourself. We're going to Arlington Heights. Like, how do you – he came in guns blazing, put his meat on the table, and said, I am moving this team to a better facility right out the gates.
Love it. I mean, this guy he's a goddamn champ, man. That's what he is. Like, you look at his business history, like his entire story, it's like this guy just wins with everything he does. He doesn't see any other way to do it, and I love it. I absolutely love that he is running the Chicago Bears now. And I think there's going to be a lot of changes to the organizational structure, the way stuff is handled there, the way stuff, like, there ain't going to be no GM not telling his head coach who he's drafting number two overall. That's never happening again while Kevin Warren's here. You know, like, there's going to be legitimate accountability in that building, because you don't get this far in life the way that Kevin Warren has with the success he's had by being irresponsible like that.
One thing I'll say, too, that we haven't talked about is he's relatively young for a CEO president. He's 59. So, like, all things considered, kind of how you, like, talk about, like, a field, we could have this guy for 10 to 15 years with this, you know.
Well, until he becomes NFL commissioner.
Well, that's true. Did you see the video over the weekend? The fuck you, Roger video?
No.
Oh, my God. I forgot what game it was at. I think it might have been the Minnesota Vikings game. And there was just these people left over after the game. They're like, fuck you, Roger. And you just see him, like, turn around. I don't know if it's actually Roger Goodell. Allegedly it is. a very similar outfit to what he was seen wearing at the game. But, all right, so let's move on. We'll move on from Kevin Warren. Other NFL stuff that's happened. So, obviously, the last show that we recorded was the Sunday of the Vikings game in the afternoon. And since then, the NFC North has ceased to exist. The Minnesota Vikings got eliminated in the only fashion that we know how last week against the Giants. And then the Packers, Aaron Rodgers, which is another kind of subtopic that we'll have to get into because that's kind of a big division topic, lost to the Lions at home as 6-point favorites. Like, everything that we wanted to happen the last week of the season and first week of wild card, it did. And I'm not going to say that I'd trade the pain that we went through throughout the season for those, like, brief moments and financial gains, because obviously I'm betting against those teams. But it was just good to see, like, we have an awful division, and it leads me to another point, like what you said, to where the division's wide open next year. And we don't even know what the teams are going to look like, but the division is wide open.
I mean – like we said pre-show, it's the Lions for the taking if they decide to do anything about the quarterback position and their defense. I mean, I'm sure they'll do plenty about their defense in the offseason, but, I mean, I'm skeptical that sticking with Goff is going to really get them where they want to be. Like, I know Goff's been to a Super Bowl and, like, has had some success with the Rams.
He's been to it. He didn't bring him to it.
His ceiling is probably about Kirk Cousins, and – that just, it's a, I just don't understand when it's very rare that you're going to have the resources they have right now to go get the quarterback you want. And I just don't understand the thought process of not doing that when you have the opportunity in front of you. Like, I mean, they're not going to be picking top 10 again next year, you know? I mean, they're picking with the Rams pick right now.
Yeah.
Not that I think the Bears should trade with them, but like, I don't understand their thought process of like, Jared Goff is our guy.
Yeah, but I think too, another thing to bring up that's important is the Packers have no money left. Like, they have no money because they gave it all away. Like, they didn't have enough money to pay Davante Adams, and now Davante Adams is shit out of luck in Las Vegas, which Bears Twitter.
Yeah, Tom Brady will go join them, and he'll be fine.
Yeah, Bears Twitter wants Davante Adams. But, like, the Packers have no money. They have a depleting roster, and they have disgruntled players. They have players that, you know, what was it, last season they called it the last dance. They got smoked out by San Fran in the playoffs. They had a great run to end the season this season and lost against Detroit at home. And it's like Aaron Rodgers went on the Pat McAfee show, as he always does, and just, you know, did the me thing, talked about how if he played with a better team, he could have won an MVP. And he also, you know, kind of left the door open for what's going to happen next season. So, like, without Aaron Rodgers, the Packers aren't the Packers to me. So I think, like you said, the division is such a toss-up. And then the Vikings are just the fucking Vikings. Like, everyone knew. I want to just have – like, I wish the video guy right now, Kevin, if you're watching this, please clip in Dennis Green to, like, they are who we thought they were. Because they're frauds. Like, the Vikings won all those one-possession games. You want to know what's crazy? After they won every single one-possession game all season, how'd they go out?
One possession game.
Can't live on the edge your whole life. So those one possession games will go in a different direction next year. Similar how the Bears were on the wrong end of all our one possession games, with the exception, I think, like one or two, because you know we're not winning by two possessions. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like, the Bears were terrible in those one possession games. But the fine margins that you have in this league, another point that I could bring up that I saw, like, talk about fine margins. So do you remember in week eight or whatever, when the Panthers played the Falcons in overtime, it went to overtime. It was like that crazy chaotic game, right?
Yeah, I lost a bet on that game.
I did. I believe I did too. But I saw something that, you know, the whole reason why Pinheiro, and this ties back into the Bears because it's Pinheiro, misses the kick, right? It's because DJ Moore popped his helmet off. If the Panthers end up winning that game by just sealing that extra point, the Panthers are playing the Cowboys on Monday Night Football this recent Monday.
Really?
Small margins in this league could mean everything. And this is a podcast that talked very down on two teams going into the season, and I'll be the first one to eat the crow, say we were very wrong on those teams, Carolina Panthers and the Seattle Seahawks. I thought those two teams were going to be absolute dog water. They both exceeded expectations. And I think right now the NFC is for the most part wide open, with the exception of like the Niners and the Eagles, and then the Cowboys are kind of ascending to that right now. But like I said, playing a terrible division, there's no reason why we can't be competitive if we do the right things in this offseason to get us ready for next season.
Yeah, there's no reason the Bears shouldn't at least be competing for a wild card spot next year, if not the division, with where the Bears division is. Like, it's a weak conference and a weak division in the weak conference. Like, there's no reason for them not to be.
A weak division in the weak conference. Say that 10 times quick. If you have, like, a goal board in your house, just put Nickelodeon game, Justin Fields MVP, because that's, like, the ceiling, the way too early ceiling for the Bears going into next season. And the
Bears would have like a real stronghold on MVP history at that point.
Yeah, they would. But what I really want to say though, too, that I think is important is I see a lot of like mixed messages on Bears Twitter. I see a lot of just like general bullshit on Bears Twitter. That Justin Fields is a running back special. That Justin Fields isn't our quarterback. You know, Bryce Young this, C.J. Stroud that. C.J. Stroud did, by the way, declare for the NFL draft. But I think that right now at this point, the most important thing to say on Justin Fields is that we simply have not seen a sample size enough. We haven't seen a big enough sample size to know if he is the guy long term. But have we seen enough to keep him around to find out? Absolutely. I do not want to see the Bears, in no matter who it is, whether it's Young or Stroud, I don't want to see them go after a new quarterback. And I really just want to see this discourse stop from Bears fans, because it's like, we just fucking got Fields. We haven't had an opportunity to really see what he's about in a team that's built for him. Let's give him time. We don't need C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young. Let's attack some other spots on the team. And like we said before the end of the season, when the first pick just kind of fell into our lap, trade, trade, trade. Get on the phone, make every phone call, see where you can get traded or trade down to, and then go from there. But I don't think this is a team that if we draft C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young, that we're just going to instantly be competitive. They're going to be running for their lives. You know what I'm saying? It's no different. And Bryce Young's less mobile. CJ, or I'd say both of them are pretty much less mobile, but they can still run a little bit if they have to. But I don't want to hear about it.
Oh, you mean like how Fields was when he came out of college? He could run a little if he had to?
Well, he can run a fucking lot. He's Michael Vick reincarnated, or Lamar.
But, I mean, like, that's kind of my point, though. It's like, you're calling a guy a running back. He wasn't a runner until he needed to be. That was survival. That wasn't this is how I play football. That was, I need to do this, otherwise I'm going to die back here.
Yeah, it's like people long forget that he just dropped like 6 touchdowns on Dabo Sweeney's head in the college football playoff. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
We don't have good wide receivers. We don't have a good offensive line. Cole Kmet is very good at football now. We have the TikTok version of Michael Pittman, Chase Claypool. You know what I'm saying? Like, Darnell Mooney's coming back. There are pieces to build with. There are pieces to get rid of. And I think another one episode that we have to have before, like, the draft and before free agency starts is, like, a buy or sell episode. Because – and I just sounded like Doc Rivers after, like, 65 – like, we're in, like, double OT and I'm in the timeout. My voice just killed me right there. But a buy or sell episode, it's going to be a lot of sell. But there are – some other tough decisions that may need to be made on this roster. Because you have to realize it's still a new regime. There's still going to be a good level of turnover. And another discourse that I, like, want to be shot dead right where it is like, we're not trading for Lamar Jackson. Like, that's just – this is not happening. What do we want? Like, a more injury-prone, older version of Justin Fields? No, that's fucking stupid. That makes no sense. So,
well, like, a guy whose price ceiling as a passer is lower, too.
Yeah, ceiling is lower, yeah, as a passer. I don't know. And he pooped mid-game. He literally left the game mid-game to go poop.
Well, the Bears kind of like those guys. Don't forget.
Yeah, it's a Chicago thing. But, you know, Justin Fields is my fucking quarterback. I'm going to rally around him until the day that I personally make the decision not to do so. And I think that if we can just get a team around him, not to make it me, he's going to cook. We're going to see Justin Fields that had us all freaking out when we drafted him. Just give him time.
Justin Fields is Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles' quarterback. He's Kevin Warren's quarterback. The second they made that Chase Claypool trade, they said Justin Fields is our quarterback. That's what that move said to everybody who was listening, who was watching, who was paying attention. They just signed Kevin Warren. He has a close relationship with Justin Fields. That's their new team president. They're all in on Justin Fields, right?
Yeah, I saw him at the facility with Kevin Warren like the day of, and everybody on Twitter was just like, he's got that dog in him. It's just like, no, like, he was always going to be there. There was not any scenario in which Justin Fields, the conductor, was not going to be there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, another thing, though, too, right now, is it's speculation season, right? It's mock draft season. It's a good season for you because I know you like watching a lot of film, but the football games are scarce. There's not a lot of live football left. And obviously all of the college games have ended. But I think that another thing that we have to talk about is Luke Getsy, head coach for the Senior Bowl. That's beautiful. That is going to be amazing because – for those of you that don't know, the Reese's Senior Bowl, it's held in Mobile, Alabama. Mobile, I'll say it both ways because I said it wrong. probably at least one of the ways. Every year, best college football players that are seniors that are going to be going to the NFL draft, and what better way to get a firsthand look of the live talent in live reps and practice in a live game setting to see maybe we could find our guy down there. So, or maybe we could find a guy that we pick in the later rounds. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't necessarily just have to be the first round player that we find in Senior Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, usually the second or third round guys, like anywhere from pick, like, you know, start of the second round. So pick 33 over to like pick like 150 is where you're really looking in the Senior Bowl, I feel like, historically. I mean, that's where I had a tweet earlier today about it. Let me see. If like Kyle Shanahan coached the Senior Bowl team the year that he got Deebo Samuel and Dre Greenlaw, you know, second and fourth round pick or something like that. John Gruden, the year he picked Hunter Renfrow and Foster Moreau, they were the Senior Bowl coach, and they coached both those guys in the Senior Bowl. There's some nice hits on here. Let me see. Who else? Lions. The Lions coached the year that they picked Jonah Jackson in the third round. Jonah Jackson is Pro Bowl offensive guard, and they coached his team there. Kirby Joseph, just last year, the Lions. He had a really nice rookie year for them. So there's some history.
He picked off Aaron Rodgers like four times this year.
Yeah. Like there's some solid history of these guys that finding good mid-round picks. Logan Wilson with Cincy is another one. By coaching these teams. And one of the things that is really cool to see within looking at these numbers was like, so Getsy's a wide receiver coach in the past, right? QB coach, wide receiver coach. He came up doing some wide receiver coaching with the Packers, even though he was a QB historically, like going back to his college days. But so he's got, you know, a pretty good idea on what he wants in the wide receivers. And wide receivers have been one of the spots that's really had good success
those one-on-ones, and the physicality, it doesn't, I mean, it's going to be physical. There's going to be jamming, but I think in a practice setting, though, one-on-ones for receivers and DBs is the best of the best.
Yeah. Well, and just you see how these guys react to coaching, and like how, like, you know, with receivers, that's always kind of a big question, right? How coachable is this guy? Like, because as a receiver, I feel like receivers and defensive backs, you know, they always have to have the biggest chip on their shoulder because they're playing one-on-one in a lot of ways. You know, it's them against the world in their head, because it has to be a lot of the time. And that's tough to be coachable with when that's your mentality. It's a fine line that they have to walk, you know? So it's getting that experience with those wide receivers, I think, goes a long way.
I will say, without a shred of doubt in my mind, even if Luke Getsy is given the better crop of players, they will lose that game. That's just my personal opinion.
he's coaching the North team, so probably.
Do they have let me check and see North All-Stars.
Yeah, on the Senior Bowl website, they have the rosters up. I'm not sure if they're split up by team yet or not, but I assume North-South just meant like location of the school, so all the SEC is probably in the South.
That's what theoretically you think it would be, but I don't actually think.
If I'm being completely honest, all these guys practiced. I assume they practice together.
They practice together.
Like you're getting, the coaches are getting hands on experience whether they're on your team or not. You know, a lot of these draft picks who I looked up were on the other team, but like these coaches still got time with them.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'll actually be down in Mobile for that week.
And I mean, to be honest, it really doesn't matter when we know that we're going to draft Stetson Bennett on day three. So just to kind of keep for the two games of the year that Justin may go down or whatever. And honestly, too, don't even get it twisted. That man was not hurt week 18. Those are those injuries, right? Those injuries in quotations. The man came outside on an overcast day in sunglasses. Like, Justin Fields was on vacation mode in 19-degree weather in a pea coat. Is what it is. But the job is done.
Few of your Notre Dame boys will be down there in Mobile.
Will there? Was it it's probably, hold on, let me guess. Foskey?
Yeah.
Meyer.
No.
Adam Alola brothers.
No, just two. Foskey and Jarrett Patterson, who I think might be the most underrated center prospect in the country, right?
Dude, now. He was the best center in football for like 2 years straight in college.
I know. That, and then he moved to guard for one season because of a torn pec and everyone forgot he existed.
Yeah, I was gonna say he might just sneak under the radar. If he has a good senior bowl, he could move up, but I think there's a little bit of that Notre Dame bump because of just the quality of offensive linemen that have come out of there. You look at guys like Quentin Nelson, you look at guys like Mike McGlinchey, Ronnie Stanley, all these guys that are not named Sam Mustipher that have been doing great things in the league from Notre Dame. And then two, they have, I know we got Cole Kmet. If we didn't have Cole Kmet, I would be salivating over the prospects of having Michael Meyer on our team. But unfortunately, it just doesn't make sense. But I think, and I'll do my usual Notre Dame articles so at least everyone can see kind of the profile of the players that are coming out. I think it's a good batch. I think Foskey could be a guy that we could utilize at the edge position. And then Patterson. Those are probably the top two guys that I would say from Notre Dame that could possibly be a Bear next year that I would like to
Patterson's
see.
Like, when I go down there next or in 2 weeks, Patterson's going to be one of the guys I'm really watching. Because, like, I'm very interested. I've watched, like, 5 games of his and just I'm very impressed by his game.
So, have you ever seen him with his helmet off?
I have not.
I need you to Google him and tell me he's not, like, a taller, fatter version of Big Cat. And I need your reaction.
I remember seeing his face and being like, that is not what I expected him to look like. But, like.
No, yeah, dude. He is, like, the biggest teddy bear, like, nice-looking dude. He's a Notre Dame man through and through. And I honestly don't think he got hurt the whole time he was at Notre Dame. I'd have to look at his game logs.
He did. That's why he moved to guard.
Or the torn pec. Torn pec. Okay, yeah, the torn pec. That was his only injury blemish was that injury.
Yeah. But there'll be some other big names down there too. I mean, everyone loves John Michael Schmitz. I'm kind of lukewarm on him right now, but everyone's pretty high on him. Tyree Wilson, Texas Tech. He's not getting out of the top 10.
Yeah.
He's like projected top 12 right now. And once the combine comes, he's just going to skyrocket because he is a freak of nature. He might be a target for the Bears, if I'm being honest. I actually like him for what the Bears do more than Will Anderson. But Isaiah Foskey, you already said Zach Harrison, edge at Ohio State. Steve Avila from TCU, Darnell Wright, offensive tackle out of Tennessee, who is an absolute of a human being.
The other guy on Georgia, the non Jalen Carter guy. They have a second guy that's supposed to be pretty good too.
In the draft this year on defense?
I believe so, yeah. I could be wrong, but I was in shambles watching the last Georgia game for those that, if you listened to our last episode, I said hammer the Frogs. And let me tell you, the Frogs hammered themselves. But, and yeah, not a good showing for my guy Quentin Johnson in that game. But I still think he's a decent receiver for this year's draft.
Let's see. Georgia.
Yeah, it should probably show you all the prospects for this year's draft in one area. Because I honestly want to say, I know they have Carter in the middle. I want to say he's an edge rusher, but he could not be eligible for this
year's draft. They got an edge rusher, Nolan Smith.
Smith?
Yeah, Nolan Smith. He's going to go first round, I think, is what I saw. I haven't watched him yet, so I can't verify that. But I know he's been talked about as a first-round pick, potentially. Yeah.
Maybe that's probably just who I thought it was. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different which ways the Bears can go about for this draft, for this offseason. But the most important part is to just be able to pick and plug guys that can come in and contribute right away, right? Because we don't want a full-tilt rebuild. We don't want to have to recycle through another 3 or 4 years of just being mediocre. We have the money. We have the draft capital. We have the right people in the right positions. Our time's now. I think you brought it up earlier. One of the most exciting times, if not the most exciting time to be a Chicago Bears fan is right now.
Yeah. I mean, Absolutely is. This team is going through a complete overhaul in a lot of ways with a quarterback already in place. I mean, that's if you're going to overhaul anything, that's the dream, to have a quarterback already in place, because you don't go through all the calculus of like, should I go get the quarterback now, but the roster's empty, so like, is it going to ruin him? Or the questions of, I need to stack up the roster first and then I'll get the quarterback. But how do I get a quarterback when I'm like picking 20th, you know, like all that. And then you miss, the windows are so small in the NFL now. Like really your Super Bowl windows are, it feels like they're hitting a point where you're talking like 2 year windows is what you really have. Unless you're like Pat Mahomes or Joe Burrow or Josh Allen. Like those are probably the three who have wider windows.
Yeah. But no, like, they're just going to be taking turns for the next like 20 years going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So like your margin for error to get to hit your window is just so small, but having the quarterback already in place makes it easier to plan that window and actually execute on it.
Yeah, no, I like the way you put that. And there is going to be a lot of shakeup between now and the draft roster wise, but for the most part, we'll be here week in and week out. There'll probably be some weeks that we don't have a show, obviously just slower weeks, but leading into draft coverage, we'll obviously have a lot of written work on prospects, players that we think that will potentially be Chicago Bears or that we'd like to see as Chicago Bears. And then, yeah, we got the first pick in the draft. If you don't think we're running back a stream for next year, like, crazy. We are definitely going to have another draft stream for this upcoming draft, and it'll probably go longer than anticipated because we're probably going to end up trading away the pick. So just be prepared for a couple hours of us talking football. But that's way down the road. In the coming months, some of the important dates are to look out for our individual schools' pro days. The pro days are the last opportunity that they get in front of the teams. And then they also have the NFL Draft Combine, which is in Indianapolis every year, but that's an invite-only event, so not everybody will be there. So that's why I say, keep an eye out from individual schools for their pro days. See what guys are testing at. And obviously,
I'm counting down to Kentucky's pro day.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait to see just the mailman.
Yeah, I just want to see Will Levis in shorts and everyone get all hot and bothered by it.
Yeah. Well, the Justin Fields is a running back crowd would very much love a Will Levis in a Chicago Bears uniform. Yeah. I don't understand what I'm saying there, but catch my drift. But, yeah, dude. I'm very excited. We took last week off, took a little bit of break. I actually sat down and like crunched numbers on like how many shows I did this year. And I only imagine you're not probably right around the same amount. Cause how many times do you do Shaving Points each week?
Every week, like once
a week. Okay. So maybe a little over half the amount of shows that I had, but like between the two of us, you're talking to two guys that over the course of the last 4 months have probably been a part of 150 plus podcast recordings. So we were some tired fellas. We need a little bit of time to just kind of kick it, watch football, regroup. There wasn't too much that was happening, but this offseason it'll be more consistent as we've kind of stuck on Wednesdays and Thursdays as the day that we do our pregame. So that'll just be the normal day that we come back to you throughout the offseason for offseason news and stuff like that. But as always, stay tuned to the website, there'll be a lot of written content, especially with, I say it's speculation season. We'll have some speculative articles. We'll have some opinion pieces, but we'll also have pieces that are based off fact. And then a whole lot of this guy doing some film breakdowns. So yeah.
Starting the 31st through the second. So there's that 3 days. I'll have daily Senior Bowl notebook articles out there.
Yeah. See, so Quentin's going, Quinn, you got it. When you go down there, can you tell me how they pronounce it? When Quinn goes to Alabama, he's going to give me the proper pronunciation.
It's Mobile.
Mobile.
I've been there before. Not the Senior Bowl, but I've been through Mobile before. It's Mobile.
Quinn's going down to Mobile for the weekend. Yep. No, that's going to be a fun weekend, dude.
Yeah.
That's like the football guy's paradise. Like, okay.
I know. I'm excited.
I don't know. Will you be able to get videos? Well, why not, yeah. Right? Yeah, yeah, I don't see why not. Fuck yeah, dude. Let's go. You have to send me a couple flicks of Foskey and Patterson. Maybe one of them,
yeah,
if they go against each other. I don't know how beneficial it would be to have a DN go against a center, but maybe they're short on body. And we should see the gold helmets go against each other. It'd be pretty cool. And then also, we need a Luke Getsy scouting report.
Yeah.
In the same way that, you know, he's there to kind of see what the prospects are like, we as Bears fans need you to go down there and see what the fuck this man talks about in the huddle and what he's talking about half the time, okay? Because year one, we'll give him a pass, your first year as the OC. But come year two, we want your best shot, Mr. Getsy.
So one of the things I'm actually curious about, I didn't have a chance to look this up today. I don't know, like, what's his staff going to be made up of? Is it going to be Bears assistants, or is it going to be like?
It's I'm going to try and pull it up real quick because I did see a graphic on the senior. I follow the Senior Bowl because I'm a nerd, but so.
And to I am Scox. Rashee Rice is – I've heard a lot of good things from people I trust about him. I haven't watched him yet, but I've heard that there's a lot to like, and I'll be definitely checking him out before the Senior Bowl.
So Luke Getsy and Patrick Graham will serve as the head coaches, but their assistants are definitely not from their teams. And, of course, I'm not paying for you, associate. Press, go fuck yourself. They're starting to do some tweets, though, about the players. You said he's the national team?
Whatever the North team is.
Yeah, well, maybe. So, Nationals, Patrick Graham's team, okay. So, he is, of course, like, it's just a bunch of posts that are giving love to the three dudes that are the coaches for the national team, and then. Okay, here it is. Here's Getsy. America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, led off by Luke Getsy. Charles London, the offensive coordinator. He's a coach with the Falcons, QB's coach. And then DeMarcus Covington is the D-line coach with the Patriots of the DC.
Charles London might be the soon-to-be – who was it? Offensive coordinator of the – Washington Commanders.
We are Commanders. Yeah, and of course they only have players listed for the national team. So it's like guys like KJ Henry from Clemson, Jared Clark from Coastal, Foskey, a couple guys. Nothing, no real big names, but the D-line coach for the national team is actually Ryan Kerrigan. So for those of you that are Commanders fans. He was with you guys in your past life. Very good defensive end in this league for a while. But, yeah, dude, it's the best time of the year that, in my eyes, we haven't been a part of in so long, and I can't wait to be a part of it again. The playoffs are going. It's a privilege to be playing at this point of the season. We have the cream of the crop left. There's some great teams left and some great matchups this weekend. As a football podcast, I think we owe it to the people. With a week of teams that are eliminated, to at least say who we think gone to heads winning this year's Super Bowl. Q, you can go first.
My boy, Fat Pat, Patty Mahomes.
Patty Mahomes? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I think the Chiefs are.
I'm here. You seen that video of him?
Yeah.
I'm here.
Like early, like preseason, I said Bills losing Von Miller. I think has really impacted that defense, and teams have just been able to run the ball with running outside zone at them like quite a bit. So that's really hurt them. Then I went on to the Bengals and they're just starting to get banged up. And a part of me still says the Bengals, but like, just cause Joe Burrow is like the coolest man on earth,
very cool.
I just think Pat Mahomes is on a war path right now after last year. And I think he's not going to be satisfied until he has another ring. And the NFC is just a crapshoot. Like, I mean, I think
49ers are going.
My bet 49ers would be 49ers right now, but like, it could be anybody. It could be Giants. Like,
I'll say it like this: the winner of the Dallas, the winner of the Dallas San Francisco game goes to Super Bowl. I think if you get Dallas against Philly right now,
Dude, I was back and forth on Monday. I was on Dallas, then I was on Tampa, then I was back on Dallas, and then at the very, like, witching hour before the game, I said, you know what? You just don't bet against Tom Brady. And I fucking did, and I did not win. And Tom Brady is gone. But I have like, a work pool with, like, all the guys at work that, like, we all just put in $20 and pick teams from a hat. And I have Dallas, San Francisco. I have Dallas. So I don't have Dallas, San Francisco. I just have the Dallas Cowboys. So, like, if Dallas goes to the Super Bowl, I'm not too disappointed. I got family members that are Cowboys fans and shit. I could get up for it. And then my realistic one, though, I think matchup. Okay, so I think San Fran goes from the NFC. And I put a future on them, but I didn't, like, right after I saw their game this weekend, I'm like, oh, bad, already lost with Buffalo. But that was narrative. That was, I love a good narrative bet, and I fucking love me some Josh Allen. So I kind of just put those two things together, and sure shit. And then, two, I saw Benjamin Albright finally got canceled. Did you see this over the weekend?
Oh, did he?
He got canceled because after the Bills game, he posted a picture of DeMar Hamlin. He said the Bills won by .. They won 34-31. And he just got, like, I haven't seen a Benjamin Albright tweet, or Albright, whatever the fuck dude's name is. The guy that can't keep Justin Fields' name out of his mouth but has Russell Wilson as his quarterback. If there's one thing you'll find about the offseason, Q, I don't know if you've had a full offseason with me. I can't remember how many episodes we did last season. This is my time to motherfuck everyone else in the NFL. And a guy like Benjamin Albright is a guy that just, like, needs to shut the fuck up.
Yeah. He's just pissed that the Broncos chose a cornerback over Justin Fields. And
he's a good corner in their defense.
He's a very good corner.
Yeah. Good dude. NFL, his dad played many years with the Dolphins.
I suggest to anyone who has, like, half a brain and wants to be happy to just unfollow him. Like, that's what I did.
Do you have, like, a few of those guys on Bears Twitter that are just like, can't do it, it's too much for me? If you don't. I have a few,
not off the top of my head. There are probably some that, like, I've just unfollowed, but I can't. I don't think about them. It's that easy.
Yeah, no. So I have two, and I have a new Twitter, so I'm, like, not blocked by them anymore. But
the hack.
Yeah, it's the workaround. Eric Lambert, just can't stand him. I don't know. Yeah. He's just always annoyed me. And then when he, like, decided he wanted to do a podcast, he's like, "What should I name it?" I'm like, I said something about, like, I fart on my balls. I said something so stupid and so on brand for me that he blocked me instantly. And then even crazier is Wild. So right when we first started the podcast, like when it was me, Comiskey, and Amp, who are still at On Tap just doing different things, what the fuck is his name? David Prince. But he just steals everybody else's work. So like right after we started, because I would see his videos and shit, like, before we started the pod, and I didn't really, like, look into, like, the content side of the Bears. Like, I just watched the news and, like, or not the news, but, like, you know how they have their own shows on, like, Fox and stuff. I'd watch those and, like, NBC Sports. But, yeah, like, what a ride it's been, dude. This is the fourth year that we've done the show. Your second, we'll call it your second, even though you came out of the bullpen in the middle of last season, but I can say without a shred of doubt, the most excited I have been since we've started the show about the team. And you have to think we've had two playoff teams squeezed in there.
Yeah.
So
it's the first time in my lifetime I'm truly confident in the quarterback, like, not, like, questionably confident.
Yeah. Dude, I'll wear his jersey until it doesn't fit me anymore. And I'm getting pretty fat, so I might have to lose some weight or get a new jersey. But do you have any final wrap-up thoughts for our first of many episodes that we'll do this offseason to get Bears fans ready for a playoff team or at least a playoff push next season?
Nope, that's all I got. Just get ready for a lot of free agent signings, a lot of action this offseason. I have no idea where it can start and end. You know, it can be, they're going to be active and they're going to have, they have to be active. They don't really have a choice. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting.
Hey, we'll be here to cover it all for you guys. But when you have time, follow our main account at Bears on Tap. Follow Quentin at Budkastats, and you can follow me at B9300. I'll be coming out of my writing hibernation. Tony, if you're hearing this, get my account ready. I'm ready to roll. It's draft season. I got to stop being a little bitch. I got to get the pen to paper, and I got to get the people what they want because I can't let Quentin outwork me this off. This he already did, but you definitely, because you got the, what is it, the draft Bible, or what is it that you call yours?
The draft guide. Well, so I'm actually, so last year the draft guide was an aggregation of other people's scouting reports. This year they're going to be mine. Okay. I've watched 50 prospects so far. I got, you know, I'll probably try to do the top 100, something like that, maybe 150, depends how much time I have.
Even if I don't watch all 50 of their films, I'm excited to find out the interesting fact about them. Based off of last year. But
That's the hardest work, man, finding those true facts.
Other than that, all the pain is behind us. And, you know, Saturday and Sunday, enjoy the divisional games, enjoy the conference championship and the Super Bowl, because even the USFL and XFL don't start for a few months. And the rest of that time is just going to be guys throwing and catching passes in shorts, with the exception of the Senior Bowl. So get as much football as you can before it's gone for good. We'll be there to cover the off season for you guys weekly every Wednesday. We really do appreciate you for following with us tonight and just throughout this season. Like I said, throw Quentin a follow at Budkastats, throw me a follow at BDone300, and then the main account, most importantly, at Bears on Tap. We really do appreciate you for listening. And bear down.
Bear down.